Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Good on you, Joshy. Good on you. Usually after Packer games, you make a Packers-specific open. And you know when you don't make a Packers-specific open, though? After the preseason games.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday was basically a preseason game, man. Like, no reason to make a Packers-specific open after Week 18.
So I considered it, and then I thought to myself, if I were to even pull highlights from that game, what could I pull?
So you've got the, I would say the 19-yard loss, which was the worst run in the NFL since 2007. I think you could have thrown that in there. A running play and a running back losing 19 yards on a run. That's the first time that's happened since 2007.
That was funny. I laughed at that.
What else could you pull from that? LaFleur calling a timeout at the end just to make sure he avoided the shutout so they could get the field goal.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, that is embarrassing. The one positive is I think they reached their commercial quota in the first half. I think that's a positive.
I actually will say, if I am allowed to be serious for a moment, I actually don't mind the way the defense played yesterday. The Vikings, for the most part, were playing their guys, right? Like, and look, I understand it's J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. You're going to have a long, hard conversation about what to do with their former top 10 pick. Because I don't think his first year starting at quarterback went the way they were hoping. Because that's a pretty good roster up there. As we saw, pretty good defense, especially when you're playing backups. But I thought that, you know, especially like Baron Sorrell and Brenton Cox, they get some snaps during the wild card round against the Bears next week, especially at the expense of Rashawn Gary. I don't think I'd be upset with that.
There were actually some sacks in the game without Micah Parsons. That was a little refreshing.
And again, you were going up against, it's not like it was truly a preseason game yesterday, Chew. It was, yeah. I mean, the Packers were playing their backups. The Vikings, yeah, eventually they started resting some guys. But the Vikings played their offensive line 100% of the time.
You know, the only thing I thought of, yes, because the offense was god-awful. Terrible.
We don't need to.
Is Jordan Morgan a left tackle? Are we really going to get rid of Rasheed Wallace and plug him in there?
Again, that's.
Well, first, let's start off. His name's Rasheed Walker. Yes, they're most likely going to get rid of him.
It wasn't a great outing for our guy Jordan Morgan yesterday.
No.
As well as he has played it right. I feel like when he has stepped in for Zach Tom the last couple of weeks, minus the final play of regulation against the Bears, where he got blown up. But again, that's, you know, for a young guy playing out on right tackle. I thought he's held up at right tackle pretty well. He did not hold up at left tackle very well.
All right, another question for you. Who the hell is 84, and why does he feel more involved than Golden does?
Because he was. And he was somebody that they signed to the active roster just so they had enough wide receivers. So Jacoby Keeney-James, by the way, is his name. And they did that so they could go with three wide receiver sets with him and Golden and Bo Melton. Then, of course, Bo Melton got hurt, so they'd put Jaden Reed in there if they wanted to go with three wide receiver sets. Matthew was targeted three times. Keeney-James was targeted twice. But maybe because he was back there returning kicks, you felt he was more involved as well?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Golden had the one drop. That was a pretty bad drop.
Yeah. Look.
Are we giving him the rookie pass, or is that possibly a swing and a miss?
I'm giving him the rookie pass, but to me, again, Chew, I think it's a usage thing. I said this yesterday at Green Bay Game Day. The one thing I need someone to explain to me about Matthew Golden is when they made this decision to make this pivot with the Jordan Love era and go young and be this young team, the theory that was given by Brian Gutekunst at the time was, yeah, we may be young, but by the time we get to the end of the season, yeah, our guys aren't rookies because they're getting significant playing time. And I understand, like, as you're drafting, like, it's harder to do that with a lot of your draft picks, even if they're first-round picks. But last year, Chew, they went out of their way before Jordan Morgan got hurt to try to get him playing time. that they have done something that no other team does and no other team has copied. It's a copycat league.
Yeah.
If you have a good idea, teams are going to copy it. I don't know of anybody else who's doing rotating offensive linemen. Right? And that's what they did last year with Jordan Morgan to make sure he got playing time. So they're going out of their way to shoehorn playing time for Jordan Morgan at guard. You couldn't shoehorn a few more touches for Matthew Golden this year? Like, why is this the year that you decided that you didn't have to get your young guys out on the field? Or your rookies out on the field? It just hasn't made sense to me, and it's bothered me all season. I've gone off on it the last couple of weeks on Green Bay game day, but... I mean, his season, Adam Stenovich basically told us last week that his season's over. He's not playing any sort of significant role in the postseason, so I'm not expecting him to see out there for significant. Maybe he plays 5 to 10 snaps, but the way that Stenovich was talking, and then LaFleur had to put out that fire, the way Steno was talking last week, doesn't seem like Matthew Golden is going to be playing a significant role in the postseason for the Packers.
I don't know. I just don't like this receiver by committee. I mean, the season's over with. The stats are in the books for the season. Dobbs with 55 catches, which feels like, Gabe, a number three receiver around the league. Christian Watson had 35. Tucker Kraft, obviously, he's been out. Golden had 29. Wicks, 30.
So just out of curiosity, I'll take a quick look here at the Minnesota Vikings. So for the Vikings, obviously they have Justin Jefferson, so he had 84 catches. T.J. Hockenson had 51. Jordan Addison had 42. Those were their top three.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what are we going to do this week? Are we going to stay positive? Are we going project the future?
Well, but as far as yesterday goes, I mean, I think yesterday... Outside of the Packers game, which was just an absolute disaster, especially offensively, but again, it didn't matter. They told us it didn't matter. They started Clayton Tune. Sorry, bud. I don't know if you were hoping to be the backup next year after Malik Willis is gone. I think the Packers put backup quarterback back on the list of things we have to address this offseason, Chew, because, well, I don't think Clayton Tune's the answer. And as we've seen, Jordan's missed some time over the last couple of seasons, and having that backup quarterback is going to be important. So... I don't think Clayton Tune's going to be able to go out there and win you a couple games. But as far as everything else could go, like, that was my dream scenario yesterday, Chew. Like, the only way it could have been better is if the Bears would have had to play overtime to lose.
Yeah.
But I think that the Bears losing, Eagles losing, so the Packers still play the Bears, but the Bears go in with a 2-game losing streak of their own, so they're not necessarily feeling that great about themselves either. I think that was the best-case scenario yesterday for the Packers, is that the two teams that lost, and now you still get the Chicago Bears.
Who did they lose to the week before?
San Fran.
Oh, yeah. And you know, was that – no, that was the last second.
They had an opportunity to win it, and Caleb got in position.
Jordan's hasn't played in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, shoot. You miss the part where I said outside of what happened with the Packers game yesterday played out about – because we wanted the Bears, right?
We did want the Bears. We didn't want
So we didn't want to go to the Eagles because that Eagles defense is very, very good. So we don't want to deal with the Eagles. But if the Bears win, then they're kind of going in feeling good about themselves. Instead, they lose that game. Now they've got a 2-game losing streak. The last time they did win was a miracle over the Packers. So it's not like they're playing great in their final three games either.
And how are you feeling about Green Bay losing 4 in a row?
I mean, again, Chewy, we're not focusing on that.
I know.
So obviously you want to be negative. I'm trying to be the positive one here. I'm trying to lead you to water, and you're like, nope, I'm sticking my head in the negative sand.
I don't.
So you asked the question. I think you just answered it for yourself. You are choosing to be negative.
Ben Johnson clearly ticked off after yesterday's game at the offense for the most part. I don't know if I can call – because, you know, my theory is I don't really want to play a good team after a loss like that.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Are the Bears a good team? Yeah. I don't know who's good.
That's the thing. I don't think anybody's necessarily good.
Don't tell me the Packers are good.
I don't know if anybody's good. That's the thing. Door's wide open because nobody's actually good.
Kind of feels like you want one to the head or five to the chest because then you got Seattle if they do win – the following week in Seattle.
You know what's crazy though? They led the league in turnovers. They were second in the league in turnovers this year.
Seattle?
Yeah. It is the first time in NFL history that two number one seeds, and this is a wild stat, two number one seeds both had a negative turnover differential.
I love how you're prepared for the show to stay positive because you're going to be fighting me all week long.
I got Josh, right?
Wouldn't it be hard to be positive if it wasn't a team the Packers were favored on the road against?
What is the line?
So it depends upon where you look. So DraftKings has opened up with the Packers favored by a point. If you go to Pato, to the Potawatomi Sportsbook, Packers are 1-point dogs.
Interesting.
Which, again, I thought was interesting because, again, being the one of the few sportsbooks we have here in the state of Wisconsin, I figured Potawatomi would have that odds with the Packers being favored. Just because people are going to naturally bet the Packers just because that's what you're going to do in the home state. But you can get the Packers plus a point if you head over to Potawatomi Sportsbook right now.
And this is Saturday night.
Saturday night, Prime Video.
7 p.m. I've got you for a quarter and a half, and then determining whatever the score is there is the final until you wake up the next day.
I'm just trying not to project what happens next if they lose.
What does that mean?
What do you do? What do you do with the staff? You do nothing?
Well, we got an indication.
Let's just blame. Because 9-7-1, I don't care how you slice it, is garbage. You agree?
It's not garbage.
It's garbage.
No, garbage is what the New York Jets did, Chew, and being 3-13 and setting an NFL record of, again, they've been tracking interceptions since 1933. The Jets just became the first team in NFL history to not have an interception throughout the course of a season.
What would you say?
That's garbage.
What would you say Minnesota's season was?
They were 9-8.
They were a quarterback away.
Yeah. They were a quarterback away. That roster's
And they were essentially a half a game behind Green Bay.
At
the end of the season, a half of a game.
Sure.
Because you thought Minnesota was terrible the whole year long.
If this game mattered for the Packers and Jordan Love played, they beat the brakes off that team.
But they didn't.
Of course, they did. Because like, it didn't matter.
Gabe, no pictures on the scorecard, is there?
No, but also, like, this would be like if I didn't play and just went, oh, here was my score from not playing. Like, the Packers didn't play yesterday, all right? The JV Packers played. It was preseason game number 4. If it makes you feel better, Chew, the Packers finished 9-6-1, all right? They punted yesterday's game.
Hold on. But I go along this route, okay? At the beginning, were they considered, like, a top 7 roster in the NFL? Your top 7 roster is not based upon your superstars and your stars and your starters. It's really the backups what build you up to being a good roster.
So are we talking about the Packers? The Packers
were talking
about
the Packers.
They were not considered a top 7 roster, no.
I thought they
we
were.
Went through. No, we went through that exercise. Players, different places were ranking them. I do not believe the Packers were in the top 10. And again, most of that was done prior to the Micah Parsons trade. But I do not believe that they were considered.
I'm trying
the top
to stay positive.
No, you're not.
You haven't even once made an attempt.
Gabe, boys, how are we going to talk about this season 4 years from now?
So again,
are we going to say, yeah, but? Is there a yeah, but? Yeah, but.
I mean, Micah getting hurt is a big deal.
Of course.
Right? Like, that's a big deal.
So was Joey Bosa.
Not close.
Not as close.
But that's a, you know.
But if the Niners, again, the Packers made the decision going into this week. So whether if you want to talk about the future of Matt LaFleur, like Matt knew that this game doesn't have anything to do with his future. If the Packers would have played their starters yesterday and won the game, but then went on to lose to the Bears, it doesn't matter if you lose to the Bears as a 10-6-1 team or a 9-7-1 team. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, so he made the decision that the most important thing was to be healthy to give them the best opportunity to beat the Bears.
Fine. That's great. And if that doesn't happen, what are we going to do? Better luck next year.
As you say, we've got an answer.
I'm not saying get rid of LaFleur because there ain't anyone else out there.
No, it's not like it was a year ago where you had, Ben Johnson, you had Liam Cohen, Mike Vrabel was just sitting out there.
Yeah.
Right? So I think we got an answer, Chew. We'll dive into that in just a second. We will get to Thomas in Chicago. If you want to join us like Thomas is about to on the Carbos Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, we will do that as well. As we continue, the postseason is here. Josh and I continue to try to make Chewy positive. That's all coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling him old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So Chewy asked the question, and I think we kind of got an answer over the weekend. Chewy was asking, okay, what happens if you lose to Chicago? Going to Chicago and you lose. And I think we got that from policy's perspective. This is the new version, if you haven't been paying attention, to the old Murphy Takes Five, where Packers president Ed Policy takes five questions from Packers fans and answers them. And before he even dove into the questions this week, Chew, here is what Policy said to start this column over at Packers.com. It is hard to believe that it's 2026. The end of the regular season is upon us. Feels like just yesterday we were starting training camp and our guys were riding bikes across the street. Now we can sit at 9-6-1 with a divisional matchup to go and a playoff spot solidified. Adversity is the norm in the National Football League, and I am extremely proud of how our team has handled many challenges. Last season we struggled within our division, and this year we have improved to 4-1. And we've persevered through a litany of injuries and a very challenging schedule and placed ourselves in a position to compete for our ultimate goal, a Super Bowl championship. Based on those two paragraphs, to start off this month's policy's perspective, does that sound like a guy who's going to be making a change at general manager and or head coach?
To me, the first place I went was Aaron Jones.
Yeah, but again, that's...
I'm just saying.
But Aaron Jones is somebody else. Like, Aaron Jones is Brian Gutekunst. He doesn't have to say this. Nobody asked him a question, Chew, and that's why it's interesting. Because Brian Gutekunst was asked about Aaron Jones when he said, oh, yeah, he's going to be back. Nobody asked Ed Policy because, again, he isn't obligated to speak to the media. You know, it's not something that I think we're going to hear less from Ed Policy than we ever heard from Mark Murphy, because I think Murphy liked being in front of a microphone. But nobody asked. Like, you could have just dove into the questions and started answering them, right? You could have just done that. Instead, it seems like he went out of his way to say how proud he was of the team for handling adversity and injuries. Like, this to me doesn't seem like a guy who's going to be firing LaFleur and or Gutekunst.
I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I did. What did he say when he wasn't going to give the two of them an extension right away?
He just said they've got 2 years left on their contract, and I don't like lame ducks. That's basically all he said.
Okay.
He didn't put anything on it. Didn't say, it's Super Bowl or bust here. Again, if you get rid of one of them, Chew, you're doing something that that nobody's ever done, or the Packers have never done in franchise history. And that's fire a coach who's made the playoffs.
Has it been 3 years in a row, though, that we've been the seventh seed?
3 years in a row that they've been the seventh seed.
Exited in the first round every year.
No.
So
they beat the Cowboys the first time around to get to the divisional round. Last year was a first round exit. This year, obviously, TBD.
All right. What do you guys want to do? What do you want to do? Roll it back?
I mean, I'm guessing
I'm not a big roll it back guy.
Are there going to be changes? Yeah, of course there are going to be changes.
Who's going to change? No one's going to change.
It took them
forever to fire a special teams coach who was terrible.
I wouldn't be
a
shocked
handful of years ago
if he moves on from Steno. I wouldn't be shocked if, again, we could bring this up with Rob again, but if they ultimately go to what I think, based on what Rob told us a couple of weeks ago, Policy wants to do and has Gutekunst beat. Now, again, it's not what I would do. I would chew. These two, this is, until one of these two is gone, and more, you know, I guess more than likely it would be the LaFleur part of it. But until one of these two is gone, I'm riding with the format that we currently have that Mark Murphy set up. Because I just think it's too awkward to switch it up if they're both here, right? Now, if you do let go of LaFleur and then you make Gutekunst in charge of the football operations, I get it. But as long as they're both here, I keep them on the same playing field, and they have to report up to the president. But, I mean, I guess I would be shocked at this point if they did. So, okay, yes, they've made... If you want to be upset that they have been the seventh seed each of the last 2 years, I get it. But, excuse me, each of the last 3 years. But how many teams, Chew? Can you tell me how many teams have made the playoffs each of the last 3 years?
I don't.
It's six. Packers, Eagles, Bills, Texans, Steelers, Rams are the only three teams who have made the playoffs each of the last 3 years.
So if they do, how disappointed are you guys in this season?
Yeah, it's
are
a disappointing season, but I don't know if that... I don't think it's reached to the level of, think you should be firing a good coach.
This is the only scenario I could possibly see happening. The only one is I could, and I don't know Ed Policy, but the only one I could see, he sees more value in Hafley than he does LaFleur, and he makes a change that way. Otherwise, he won't do anything. But because they're going to lose Hafley. Hafley's gone.
I honestly don't know about that, Chew. I honestly don't.
That's the only possible scenario I could see.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Hafley's gone. I think he's going to get interviews, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone.
Because he won't take a head coaching job?
No, just because he won't be afforded one. I think that, again, he keeps getting linked to the Giants job, Chew. But if Kevin Stefanski gets fired today, do you think the Giants would be more interested in bringing in a defensive-minded head coach or a head coach like Stefanski, who A, has experience, and B, is going to be able to develop the quarterback that they just drafted, who looks like he has a bright future?
There's just no one else out there, though, Gabe. There's not even a hot name. Not that Hafley's hot, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, again, out there. I don't know if he is. I think we're close to the situation. We like Hafley.
Yeah.
But when you start looking around, like, he's on a long list of, yeah, I bet they get interviews. But I don't think he's this guy. I don't think he's a Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen. I mean, maybe after this next year he becomes that, but I just don't think we're there. Again, I think we're really close to the situation. Maybe he gets a head coaching job. Maybe he doesn't. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion.
I don't know. I'm counting on him not being here.
We'll have to wait and see who also gets fired today. I think that's a part of it, of how many jobs are open.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a big part of it. Because outside of the three that are now open, yesterday our guy, Adam Schefter, was on Sunday NFL Countdown. He had Stefanski and he had Pete Carroll as guys that he thought were going to be gone.
Yeah.
So if it's
fine, he'd want either one of those jobs from a quarterback standpoint.
Yeah. So
Geno's getting up there.
Well, they're gonna draft. I mean, the Raiders have the number one pick, so they're gonna take a quarterback with that number one pick.
Yeah.
So that's pretty obvious, you know. But again, if you're the Raiders, do you want to hire a defensive head coach? Or do you want to bring an offensive head coach that's going to be able to help develop and grow and you don't have to worry about that coach going anywhere? Because that's what teams are always worried about with young quarterbacks, is constantly having to cycle through offensive coordinators because you have a head coach who's not calling your plays, who's not doing that developing himself.
Yeah.
And that's what's working against Hafley.
No, I know. I'm just projecting to next year, where there's already problems going into next year because you ain't going to have Parsons at the start of the season, right?
Yeah, but you'll have him at the end of the season. And even more than the end of the season. Like, again, I just think, again, for whatever reason, you just decided to start the show today. Are we going to be positive or negative?
I'm trying.
No, you're not. You just decided to cannonball into the negative end of the pool today.
That's minus one for lying this early.
Hey, welcome back.
We're keeping a point system.
Well, Josh, where are you at? Hey, you're the biggest toad of everyone on the show. Where are you at? Are you just a roll it back? Hey, injuries, let's blame it on this, blame it on that. What do you want to do?
I think it would be a mistake to move on from Matt LaFleur after continually making the playoffs. I do think I'm open to discussions on, is he a good play caller and a good coach that is never going to take them over the top? I think that's potential, but I don't think we've reached the breaking point. I think you have to have more first-round exits, and you have to have not the potential in the building up of a young roster like they've done. Like, we seem to have ignored, because the Packers told us it wasn't a rebuild. They rebuilt after Aaron Rodgers, and they're still continually getting better. Would I have liked to see more progress? Yeah, But do I think the season would have gone different if they don't lose Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft? Do I think the season would go different if Jordan Love doesn't miss games to end the season? Yeah. I think all that stuff has to factor in. You don't want to make an irrational decision early on and then regret it because you thought, well, we should be better than this without taking into context all the other things that happened during the course of the season.
I agree, but other teams lose key players throughout the season, and you know what's going to happen next year, boys?
Yeah, they're going to lose key guys, yeah.
They're going to lose key guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to find a way to overcome it.
But you know what the number one seeds haven't done? You know what the number two seeds haven't done?
Right.
They haven't lost those key guys, Chew. A lot of times in the NFL, it's not even about who's best, it's who's healthiest at the end of the season. And we've seen that time and time again in the NFL, which is why when you are healthy, that's when it feels like a missed opportunity when you don't take advantage of that. Because, yes, injuries do happen. And every once in a while, you become one of those teams that isn't beat up at the end.
Right, and I do think there's a difference of, like, I don't know, the best defensive player or one of the top three defensive players in all the NFL.
Because there is no replacing that. To your point, Josh, like, yeah, if Tucker Kraft wouldn't have gotten hurt, that was great.
Right.
You know what the Packers had been doing? Playing pretty damn well without Tucker Kraft. Like, Jason was telling everybody on ESPN Milwaukee, yeah, I think the Super Bowl possibilities ended with Tucker Kraft getting hurt. I think he's that good of a player. And the Packers, week after week, were proving Jason wrong.
Yes.
Like, after Christian Watson had come back, the offense was starting to hum at a pretty decent level until Christian Watson then got hurt, Micah Parsons got hurt, and it's kind of been all downhill, obviously, since then. Since they were up 23-14 and they took the deep shot against the Broncos, it's all been downhill.
Yeah.
But as far as Matt LaFleur goes, like, his biggest strength, that again, any team would just scoop, like, Matt LaFleur would not be unemployed for 24 hours. Because you take a look at his resume, Chew.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was not playing well. He won half of his MVPs with Matt LaFleur as his coach. He won two of the four MVPs he won with Matt LaFleur running the offense. You remember the first time Jordan Love played because Aaron was out? What was he? Had COVID?
COVID, yeah, in Kansas City.
Kansas City.
You remember how bad that was?
Yeah, he was terrible.
And then basically, Davante Adams told us, yeah, I don't want to be around playing with that guy because I don't think he's good enough.
But there are
problems. And now think about how good Jordan Love is now. Look at Malik Willis. Was told that he was struggled with the basic concepts of football when he arrived here, and he is going to be leaving with an opportunity to be a starter somewhere else next year.
Let me ask you this, though. What if there was a Ben Johnson out there? What if there was?
I don't think you can make that move because you never know. Because for as many Ben Johnsons as there are, there is the Mike McDaniels. Right. There's always those guys out there who seem like the offensive genius and probably can still call a pretty good game, but they're not head coach material. And I think that happens all the time. I think the Bears got lucky. They got one of the few ones that seems to be good at both of those things and building towards the right. And the thing is, you haven't mentioned, it's all been Matt LaFleur related. I don't think the Packers' problems are solely Matt LaFleur related. I think him and his partner, Goody, have probably some equal blame on how things have gone throughout the course of the season. You can pick and choose who you think is more to blame, but I don't think one of them is to blame significantly more than the other by any stretch of the imagination. You can have, I was critical of Matt LaFleur all season long, but I do think he improved, and I do think he relied on his quarterback more and trusted that guy, and they went from trying to pound the rock uselessly to a team that was kind of opening it up, stretching the field, going downfield. They did all those things.
That my two big rubs offensively are this. The offensive line, which I put on Goody. Why did you disrupt that when they were so good last year, right? Mm-hmm. Why did you do that? And then LaFleur, stop this receivers by damn committee, okay? Stop.
I didn't bring this up last week. You said it last week. You're saying it again today. Just welcome. Welcome to this side of stop with the receivers by committee. Because all season long, what have you been? What side of the fence have you been on there, big guy? Oh, I like it. One guy gets hurt, then you can plug in another guy. That's where you... So welcome. I am just saying welcome with open arms. Welcome home, brother. Welcome home.
Yeah. No, you're not totally right.
What?
Not by committee is four. Play four receivers and that's it.
What?
All right? I don't need seven receivers out there. I don't.
This is my fault, isn't it, Josh? Yeah. I brought it up. Uh-huh. I should have just accepted in my mind that he had come over to our side. If I bring it up and now he's going to fight, that he's going to be on my side.
Like in my day, we had three receivers, right? We had three. Until Robert got hurt. We had Robert, who was fantastic. We had Free, and we have Biebs, right? That's enough. And then you wash Andre for Robert.
Yeah, right? Andre eventually comes in. You got Biebs. Yeah.
I mean, the problem was you didn't have Christian Watson for the first half of the season. You also didn't have Jaden Reed. So you were relying on Romeo Doubs, trying to get the other guys figured in because, well, Savion Williams apparently just can't play wide receiver. That's just a guy we kind of have on the roster that magically ended up on the IR. That's an interesting one because what are you going to do with him if he can't run routes?
Well, he didn't magically end up there, Josh. We know how he ended up there. The dude was trying to play and wear a walking boot in between playing.
It's just he was on the roster and he didn't deserve to be. And that was that. It was that simple. He wasn't a wide receiver. He was a running back that they had playing wide receiver who caught like one meaningful pass the entire course of the season.
Pretty sick catch, though.
It was a great catch.
Yeah, pretty sick.
No, but I remember talking about this in training camp. I'm like, wait till Watson gets back. And then we have Golden and Watson, both 4-3 guys.
Yeah, they never put it quite together. They never put it quite together with Golden and all that, you know, again. I think Christian Watson certainly, I would say this was Christian Watson's best season.
I think easily.
Statistically, I know it doesn't, you know, he ends up, you know, I think a catch or two and 9 yards away from the career highs, a touchdown away from career highs. But factoring in, this is the least amount of games he played, to put up those numbers in that limited amount of time, and some of the catches that he did make. It's not like they were just running away from everybody. Like the growth we saw to him, like this was by far Christian Watson's best season, which is also why I'm not willing to say that Matthew Golden's a bust quite yet.
I will say the signs are not great.
It's not good, Josh.
No, the comparisons we don't love.
No, I wasn't going to bring it up.
But also, the thing that led me astray with Davante Adams as a young player was he had the worst second year of like any wide receiver that received that many targets, that many end zone targets. Like that was also a really bad sign. And he had one of the worst statistical seasons possible.
Yes. But he was still a second-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick.
I mean,
right?
That doesn't really make significance to me.
I think it does. It takes, you know, your first-round picks essentially are special. And I thought Golden was special. Well, I think
some of his stuff is still pretty. I think the raw ability there is still pretty special.
I mean, but if you look at
it's whether or not they can mold it into something.
You look at Tet McMillan and Abuka. I mean,
Abuka's been the least efficient wide receiver the past like 6 years.
Yeah, as of late, he kind of fell off. Well, he hits the rookie wall. But still, he had a better season. I don't know. I just didn't think the gap would have been that big.
Yeah, look, I'm disappointed the whole Matthew Golden experiment, too. I don't think anybody is going to fight you on that.
The main thing is they were on the field getting snaps and getting targets. And targets is an earned type thing, but the snaps aren't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do we think Romeo Doubs deserved all those more than him that much, that he deserved to be a 90% player versus a 15% player?
All right, let me ask you this. Do you want Doubs back even if the money's right next year?
No.
Because whatever the money ends up... whatever the money ends up being, you're now going to be... Let's say he signed somewhere for $5 million.
Yeah.
That's like five times what he's making right now.
Right.
Like, I don't want that production for that month. No, I feel like I can get that production out of what I already have on the roster. I don't need to spend the extra
$4 to $5
million.
It stunts the growth of these younger guys.
He's a roadblock.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a roadblock for Tucker Kraft at times this season. That's how insane the treatment of Romeo Doubs has been.
And look, I'm cool with roadblocks if you're good.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you have Davante Adams, he's preventing the development of other receivers. Tough. M's the brakes. When Romeo Doubs is the one who's blocking that development?
Yeah.
I think you can get that. He had a career year. Chew, you read off his numbers before. That was a career year for him.
For who, Doubs?
Yeah. Best year of his career. First time he's gone over 700 yards.
Yeah. 55 catches for a number one.
Yeah, and I think that can definitely hold you back. But again, it all comes down to whether or not you win this game, right? I mean, it's all now down to, can you go in and do something that only you have done before? Matt LaFleur is the only coach as a 7 seed. I know it hasn't been around that long. Packers are the only team as a 7 seed that have actually won a game in the NFL postseason. So, there we go. And again, Stacy texted in on the Carbles Talking text line, 800-990-3776. That's the problem, Gabe. Try to make everything positive, just like you did with the Brewers. Knowing the evident outcome. Just speak the facts and truth. Listen to Chewy. Y'all have a good day.
Love it. It's okay. All right, positive from here on out. It's going to be hard.
Okay, I mean, the Packers are favored.
Yeah, that's lie too. But I still don't feel great.
What'd you just say?
That's lie too. Positive from here on out.
Well, we're keeping track of his lies?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is that just a today thing, or is that going to be
today.
A week-long thing?
Okay. I'm going to try.
It's because when you start with the, like, let's try and be positive here and trying to accuse other people of not being positive, and then you're the one bringing it all down.
I mean,
down.
Are you still going to feel great if they win this game?
Yeah.
It's the flippin' Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All beating right,
the Bears,
okay.
Okay. What are we doing here? You just said positive from here on out. The next
I
sentence.
After the
lie
next
three.
Very
after next
this break.
Sentence.
Lie three.
The very next sentence is, well, are you going to feel that good if they win this game? Yes. You're damn right I'm going to feel that good if they win this game. You're winning a playoff game. You
all right, okay.
Before, you're trying to poo-poo a playoff win.
I just immediately go back to 9-7. 9-7. We sucked our first year and still went 9-7. This team went 9-7.
Yep. How were you?
You know what we didn't have in 92, Gabe?
What's that?
A Micah Parsons.
But what did you have in 9? What'd you have in 93?
Doesn't matter.
What'd you have in 93, Chew?
9-7, 9-7. They're going with their once.
Also, if my memory serves me, the quarterback you had was known for playing every single game he could possibly play. Concussions weren't really a thing back then.
No, they weren't. It's because we were tough, Josh.
I'm gonna bow out.
Was that another lie?
No, I don't think anyone's questioning your toughness.
You know, sometimes they say you got maybe you're tough, but maybe you're a little dumb too.
Yes, that's fair. That's kind of a win.
Yeah, no, I think that's a win for you, certainly. If you are ready to rumble, you can join wrestling legend Kevin Nash January 31st at Potawatomi Casino Hotel for an elevated viewing experience of the Royal Rumble. I absolutely love the Royal Rumble. It is my favorite event on the WWE calendar, and we are doing an elevated watch party with legend, wrestling legend Kevin Nash. Okay, so here's how you can join us at Potawatomi for the Rumble on January 31st. It's going to be at the annex of Potawatomi Casino, and just $100 per person. So a ticket is $100, but here's what you get. 2 complimentary drink tickets, an unlimited buffet access, photo and autograph with Kevin Nash. That's right, you get a photo and an autograph with the legend himself, Kevin Nash. $25 in reward or match play to your favorite games on Potawatomi, plus a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. It's the Royal Rumble, January 31st at Potawatomi Casino. Secure your spot now by visiting Potawatomi's website.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let's go out to the Carbles Talking text line, 800-990-3776, where our guy Thomas in Chicago has been patiently waiting. We know Thomas, a loyal listener here to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy behind enemy lines. Thomas, what's going on this morning, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I threw that game out. I think it kind of showed what Goody's recent draft picks, kind of like you can't rest all your stars, but I moved on to Chicago. Did you guys watch the Bears' last 2 games against the Niners and yesterday against the Lions?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, and like, this is the problem with LaFleur, and this is why I think we should get rid of him. All the Niners Lions did was across the middle, slants, and easy stuff. And to beat the, and like, or if they did, they like did like a, they did like crossing routes to wait for a play to develop. And I just think if we just keep just because their defense is bad, especially in the backfield. But I trust people like McVay, Shanahan, Liam Cohen, Sean Payne, and all these way better offensive minds who just would just do whatever they want to get the job done. And I feel like LaFleur would do some like cutesy stuff where he'll go away from that. So I just like that's what needs to happen. But I'm just afraid LaFleur would try to outsmart himself and be too cute. And I mean, we saw him in the red zone. That's a problem. And I just think that if something's bread and butter, just do it. But I'm just afraid he's just not that type of guy. And like, if we win or lose, I still think he should be gone.
I mean, there are two matchups against the Bears. I don't think LaFleur was the problem, right? I mean, they were in position to win. And if Romeo Doubs recovers an onside kick, he goes into Chicago and he wins with a backup quarterback, putting up nearly 400 yards of offense. Like, I don't think LaFleur was the issue anytime they played the Bears, Chew. Do you?
No, but there's a part of me, Gabe, that thinks Detroit's still the best team of the three.
Packers beat.
I mean, that's not being negative. That's making an observation.
What makes you think that they're better than the Packers? We saw what happened on the field twice with those teams this year.
I'm just saying without Micah Parsons. I think their defense is better than ours. And their offense has the potential to be pretty good. I'm not saying there's a
what,
huge
score,
gap,
score 19,
Gabe.
Score 19 points right. And win?
All right, so you rank them.
In terms of who I think are the best teams? I think
1, 2, 3.
I think the Packers are still the best team in this division. Then it's the Bears. Then it's the Lions.
Really?
Then it's the Vikings. Yes. And Vegas obviously agrees with me, Chew. The Packers are going on the road and are favored against the Chicago Bears. Again, not by much. I'm not saying that they're light years ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that that's the ranking, and I think that's the ranking that Las Vegas would have as well. The people who make the most money off of this.
Yeah, we know that. DraftKings, like, point spreads are based on a power rankings, as interesting as that might be to you, Chewy. They do power rank how they feel these teams are. And Packers going on the road and being 1.5. DraftKings has 1.5.
So clearly, Detroit, you know, because everyone, you know, make excuses or blame things, okay? Detroit's downfall was because they lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. Is that what they're going to say in Detroit?
Oh, more than the defensive coordinator, it's the offensive coordinator.
They started that right away when Dan Campbell took over.
Yeah, if Dan Campbell doesn't want to call plays, Chew.
Oh, yeah.
When he starts calling plays, that's how you know they're going to be looking for a new offensive coordinator to come in and call plays next year.
So Green Bay, it's going to be injuries, correct?
Injuries, again, I would not be shocked if they demoted or just fired Adam Stanovich.
That guy's got to watch his mouth.
Huh? Yeah, I know, but why? The guy doesn't call plays.
He's still a part of those offensive meetings. Yeah. Like, it's not like LaFleur's just, like, coming up with everything on his own. You know, like, yeah, in your time, Mike Holmgren called all the plays. You're telling me Andy was useless?
Yeah, but he wasn't the offensive coordinator. Sherm Lewis was.
Sure, but still, you're telling me Andy had no say in those meetings? Wonder how he ever became a head coach.
No, Andy probably had more say than Sherm.
Yeah, you notice I went to Andy instead of Sherm. I know Sherm was useless, all right? Like, I know Sherm didn't have a lot to... You have let us know over the years that Sherm Lewis, despite being the offensive coordinator,
he didn't have a lot of influence.
He wasn't the guy that Holmgren was, you know, throwing ideas off of. By all accounts, that's who Adam Stanovich is.
Yeah, but we didn't fire coaches. Our problems, our coaches went on for better jobs. When's the last time someone went on to a better job?
Oh, Derek Ainsley, who? Right?
Yeah.
Who? I'm saying offensively.
Who's the D coordinator for Jacksonville?
Yeah, Ainsley.
No. I'm saying offensively, Josh.
I mean, Getsy left to become an offensive coordinator at a couple of
and
different spots.
And he was
spots.
Terrible, right?
Hackett was a head coach.
Was a head coach. Obviously,
terrible.
That did not work out.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Mannion is going to get an opportunity as an OC somewhere. Like, I wouldn't be shocked. If they got rid of Steno, I would not be shocked if either he got promoted or if somebody else gave him an opportunity. Because a lot of people are loving what they've seen and giving him credit behind the scenes of, as well as LaFleur, for the development of the quarterbacks that they've had.
But firing Steno would be just, someone's got to be blamed and...
Yeah.
It's going to be him.
And that doesn't. You're the one with bloodlust, man. I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to give you the thing that's going to satisfy you.
I'm not a fan of roll it back again.
Well, yeah, but firing.
Okay, I'm not a fan of roll it back again.
Firing Steno would not be rolling it back.
Right.
Is it really going to make a difference?
So you want? What are you looking for here? Define this to me. Because it doesn't seem like you're advocating for firing either Goody or LaFleur.
But you're not a fan of running it back. And firing an offensive coordinator and potentially losing a defensive coordinator doesn't seem to satisfy you either.
No, I'm just projecting forward. And like I said, they're kind of already up against it next year with Parsons being down for X amount of time. And then you got to make decisions on... Is Jordan Morgan a left tackle? I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, you might not think so, but he's going to be.
Huh?
I said, you might not think so, but it sure seems like he's going to be.
You know what I mean? I'm a proactive guy. If I ever got a tattoo, I'd say.
All right, then be proactive. Yeah. What do you want to see happen? Be proactive for me.
I want to see what they do against the Bears. I want to see what they do
against the Bears. Hey, this is a step in the right direction, Joshy, because he said he wasn't going to be negative anymore. He said he was going to be positive. I feel this is a step in the right direction.
Because if they get blown out by the Bears, that means he's lost this locker room.
I can't imagine.
I'm just saying, I'm covering all scenarios.
I don't see a scenario where either team gets blown out this week. Like, this is just going to be a close game. I don't know. I'm going to predict the Packers to win. They could easily lose this game, but I don't think either the Bears nor the Packers get blown out. There was a tight game the two times they've played. It's going to be a tight game again. I just can't imagine this being the Bears roll the Packers 35-7.
What was their record last year?
They were 11-6.
Yeah.
But if they win a playoff game, who cares?
I honestly don't know what.
But if they win a right, if they win a playoff game, who cares?
No, if they win a playoff game, that's good. Can they save the season?
I mean, winning a playoff game is always better than not.
Yeah.
Winning a playoff game, beating the Bears, making it further than them, yeah, I think that's a step in the right direction.
Was last year better than this year? I mean, keep in mind what I said last week, they only beat one team with double-digit wins.
If they lose to the Bears, it's probably worse. Just because you lost to the Bears in that, as a fan base, to me, hurts more. But otherwise, it's about the same.
Okay.
Right? You didn't win the division. You're the number 7 seed, and you lose in the first round. Like, to me, that's roughly the same.
How loud is the noise calling for LaFleur, though? Is it loud or not?
I think there is a vocal small minority. Like, I see a bunch of it on the talking text line, people calling for LaFleur's job. But I see also polls that people put up there on Twitter, on Packers Twitter, where it's like 85% don't want to fire LaFleur. You know, I think it's a small but very vocal group that want LaFleur to be gone.
Is that because there's no one else out there? Because let's say, hold on, Gabe, if they did fire him, Green Bay is the number one job available. Would you agree?
Green Bay, yeah, probably.
Yeah, they're a playoff team.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's the only reason I'm saying if there was a Ben Johnson available, it would make it.
Yeah, but there's still a calculated gamble there. I mean, Ben Johnson has worked out, but as Josh pointed out, there's plenty of offensive geniuses that everybody thought were going to be the next guy. Yeah, it's literally just a long list of New England Patriots guys. Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, that were kind of linked with Tom Brady. This guy's going to be it. And they didn't do anything. They're just good coordinators.
All right. I was positive that round. I thought it was pretty good.
Joshy?
We'll call it a step in the right direction.
Okay.
Not a lie. Not totally forthcoming.
Hungry? You guys called me stupid, so your segment wasn't that great either.
Whoa.
No, you said stupid. Or dumb.
Well, Josh said dumb last
time. I was referring to you guys being knocked unconscious and going, Coach, put me back out there.
Yeah, Biebs being knocked unconscious and snoring on the field.
It's a good story, though.
And then playing?
I know, in retrospect,
I think you can admit might have not been the best idea.
I know the science wasn't there, but I know you guys had to go, well, that's probably not right to go back out there.
Yeah, you're right.
Hungry for bold flavor? Woodman's has the deal you've been waiting for. Starting today, January 5th through the 25th, you can grab Screamin' Sicilian Pizzas, original, thin and crispy, or tavern style, for just $5.99 each. That's right. More of your favorite pizza loaded with toppings at an unbeatable price. Stock up now and make every night a pizza night. It's only at Woodman's. More toppings, more to love. Again, original, thin and crispy, tavern style, all going on. Your favorite Screamin' Sicilian for just $5.99 from today through the 25th. I mean, usually these things are like a week long. 3 weeks long, January 5th through the 25th. You can grab Screamin' Sicilian for just $5.99 each at Woodman's.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as
well. They don't work. They're called poop.
No,
they're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
And another coach has been fired across the NFL. Our guy, Adam Schefter, who will be back with us, by the way, this Wednesday. Going to have a show on Wednesday, so we'll be talking with Schefty Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter reporting that Kevin Stefanski is out as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Now, four jobs are open in the NFL. This one was expected, Chew. Schefty's been all over this one. But as long as we bring up the Browns, just I wanted to quickly mention this so then we could get back to Packers, Bears, and get ready for that matchup. Did you see any of the aftermath after Myles Garrett got the sack?
How they stopped the game and things like that.
Well, I mean, stopping the game, to me, that makes sense, Chew, because
I agree.
Like any, if you watch any sporting event and a major record gets set, or when LeBron like scored 40,000 points, or you know, Cal Ripken, anytime a major record is set, the game's going to stop. Mm-hmm. Because you should, like, these are the things that we watch sports for. You should celebrate these moments. I just think the Browns went a little too far with their celebration. That's all.
The Lombardi carry off the field a little much.
What's the equivalent in baseball?
So, what would be the equivalent of the sack record? I'm not sure.
I mean, home runs?
Yeah.
No.
Guess what? They didn't carry Barry Bonds when he hit his 73rd.
No one liked them. Everyone.
They didn't carry Barry. They didn't carry Mark McGwire. They liked Mark when he broke Roger Maris's record. They didn't go, "Hey, Mark, we're gonna hoist you up on our shoulders and carry you off the diamond." That was just a little strange.
I didn't think either side performed well. The Bengals complaining about stopping the game and like told how they weren't warned about it.
Like,
what do you expect? Also, you punted on 4th and 1 on their side of the field in that game, so clearly it didn't matter much to you either.
All right, let me ask you another question about it. Was Burrow a little breadish there or what? He didn't really try to elude him too much, but it's a guy who gets
hurt
all the
time. Like, there was also nowhere to go. Like, he tried to step up to avoid him, and the guard was in his face.
I didn't think it was a dive. I mean, the far thing was so clear. I mean, the get off time for Myles Garrett and that, who was clearly like jumping the play, and he was reading that left tackle. He was very clearly dead set on getting sacks and not much else in that game
because literally nothing else mattered.
And
did he
was there?
Did he
just quick.
Did he get one? Is that all he got?
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, he needed one, got one. He was at 22, got the one to get to 23 to break the record.
Yeah, it's kind of weak all the way around.
I don't know. I thought it was a cool moment because, again, for a record that stood that long, for 25 years, that record has basically stood, and he went out and he broke it. As much as he gets double teamed, like, it's just insane. Like, I thought Micah had a fantastic year, and Micah and Myles Garrett, they're the two that get double teamed the most, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of double teams, they face the most. And I can't imagine Micah finished with, 13 sacks?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if he stays healthy, I can't imagine him getting 10 more sacks, and that's basically what Myles Garrett did. Just insane.
Yeah.
Just an unbelievable season for him.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable player.
Yeah. I am surprised that places are taking bets on Defensive Player of the Year because.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is. That is done. That is over with. We'll get back to Packers-Bears as we get ready for the playoffs. Packers-Bears 3. It's Saturday night on Prime Video. We do that in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.